Texas turning back the clock on abortion rights, all but overturning Roe versus Wade in the state in some of the latest news this week. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us wherever you find good podcasts at US of Ed, as well as on Facebook and Twitter. And check out Ed and I's other podcast, Pacific Conversations. Chat this week with Henry Cisneros, former US Secretary of Housing and Urban Development under President Bill Clinton. First, looking at the situation in Afghanistan, and late last week, a bombing killed 13 US service members and scores of Afghani civilians, over 100 all told. A tragedy for Afghanistan and the deadliest day for US personnel in Afghanistan since 2011. ISIS-K have claimed responsibility for the attack. Ed, what do you make of the American response?
Well, there are three things I want to say about this. First, our numbers are a little bit wrong. It's 14 Americans now. One died a little bit later. And 200 of, unfortunately, Afghanistanis. And that's just horrible. There is no gain without pain. And I think the president made that very clear. As a president, this is the first war since the end of the Second World War that a US president has said anything when the American troops were withdrawn. That includes Korea, Vietnam, all the escapades in the Middle East, and now this one. So for once, a president closed the door. And he closed the door not just, this is my second thing, on this war effort, he closed the door on all of them. It'll be very difficult for a president to muster up the American people to go to war again someplace outside the United States. And that includes, unfortunately, Haiti and Central America, where drug dealers and various scoundrels and Venezuela are tearing the countries apart. But there's one lesson, this is my last thing, we've learned from all this. And this is like when you're dealing with your children or you're dealing with your friends or your neighbors, unless they got it in them, they're not gonna get any better. You can teach the lessons, you can walk the walk, but you can't do it for them. So I think the United States is learning a lesson that the Romans should have learned and didn't. That Napoleon should have learned, didn't. Hitler should have learned, but didn't. The British should have learned, but didn't. Let's hope for the very first time we start spreading peace, love, and vaccines.
On the extrication itself, with the August 31st deadline set by the Taliban obviously passed, hundreds of US citizens have also reportedly still been left behind, leaving that job incomplete. What's happening there?
There's less than 100. Some of American citizens are Afghanistaners, and they have families there who do not have the right to immigrate. And that's the largest portion of them. They won't leave without their families. The second group are those people who are with various kinds of foreign aid missions. They're American citizens, but they're working for Alliance Francaise or somebody else. And they made a commitment to stay until this is over. And there are, let's say, less than a dozen who are Americans who are caught in the fact that they were contractors or whatever and just didn't get to the airport on time. This is a lot cleaner than any other exit from any other war in terms of Americans left behind. And by the way, I'm proud of the United States in this regard, but my new home country has not shown the same regard for the people that work with us.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot could be said about the Australian response in the region. On the home front, Hurricane Ida has been drawing comparisons with a weather event I know you're very familiar with, Ed, Hurricane Katrina, made landfall around the same part of Louisiana on the anniversary of Katrina, in fact. But what's the damage looking like?
Well, the damage thus far is, I have to categorize this. The rainfall damage has been horrific, but the levees have held. In part, that's because the Corps of Engineers and a genius group that they had within the Corps asked for my assistance to change the levees. And we went to Congress, and Senator Landrieu and others, I was just the mouthpiece, got new orders to change the way the levees were being built and follow a totally new strategy, and that saved New Orleans. I was an actor in that process, but I didn't, well, actually I did work on a couple of the levee walls with the Corps guys, much more picture taking than anything, and clearing away the grass and other stuff. But I'm quite proud of the fact that the city held. The areas of the city that we knew we couldn't hold did not hold, but the other areas held. Does this mean New Orleans is out of the woods? No, 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 no. Another hurricane coming from farther west and coming back at the city from behind it will be enormously damaging. Climate change is real. New Orleans will be the brunt of climate change, just as the mountain areas in California will continue to be the brunt of it, just as our woodlands here in Australia will continue to be the brunt of it. We cannot say anymore that these are natural disasters. These are disasters that we made, and it's just waiting to be destroyed. We built New Orleans on a set of islands and made it one city. Putting together that jigsaw was something that nature and the Mississippi River didn't like, and it's gone. We put people on Lake Tahoe and all those hills. When we were told, when I was at the University of California, Berkeley, do not do this. Do not create a city there. Do not put sewage in Lake Tahoe. Do not cut down those trees. Do not do these things to urbanize an otherwise forested area. We're paying the price. These are not natural disasters.
Texas has turned back the clock and all but overturned Roe versus Wade in the state. Abortions are all but banned, outlawed as early as 6 weeks when many women wouldn't even know they're pregnant yet, and they are the most restrictive laws in the US. Furthermore, turning citizens into bounty hunters, offering $10,000 rewards for anyone who turns in anyone associated with an illegal abortion if that report results in a conviction. Ed, what's going on?
Well, how much time do you want to spend in the courts? This is all political show. You cannot, even if a person robs a bank, get a reward for snitching on them unless you have concrete proof. This will be thrown out of the lowest court in the land. Get with it. I'm tired of this nonsense. I think what the Republicans have to do is start offering some hope and stop penalizing people for being good citizens and working on the rights that count. Now, there is no right to say, I don't want to take a vaccine anymore. There's a right to say, I don't want to wear a seatbelt, or I don't want to stop at stop signs, or I don't want to my kids to be vaccinated before they go to school. There are no such rights. But there is a perfectly good and legitimate right by the state to say that certain procedures must be followed. For example, like last week, we were talking about people who wanted the right to die. That will be legislation here in Australia very soon. It already is in Oregon and the like. So it is sad to see people trying to move back the clock rather than move it forward.
What, if anything, can be done on the federal level on this one?
Oh, I'm sure that the federal courts will immediately be notified, and there'll be a suit that's brought before the jurisdiction down there. I don't know who's on that panel. I think that's District 9. They might cut it off there. But Texas will use their money to take it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And I think the court will just say, we're not hearing it. We heard this case. We ruled in Alabama just 3 months ago that these cases cannot be brought before the court unless you have some new grounds. And penalizing women for having babies that are unwanted is not sufficient grounds. You know, this is, it'd be a different thing if they're bringing a totally new suit, but they're bringing the same old stuff and just changing the date. Good God. I mean, I learned more better than that in my first week of law school.
And just before I move off this one, I mean, just looking at the midterms, you know, they're still a while out, but we are talking about midterms, of course. And you mentioned there, obviously, Republicans need a bit more of a positive message rather than offering the stick over and over again. I'd like to point out that in 2020, more people actually voted for Biden in Texas than voted for Biden in New York. I mean, it's just the size of the state and the Electoral College that obviously drowns them out. But there is a pretty considerable Democratic population in Texas now, and those battle lines are being drawn.
That's right. That's right. And I hope Beto O'Rourke continues his terrific leadership there and galvanizing the people in Texas these midterms. Texas will get two more members of Congress. Usually those members would go to Dallas and Houston, but you can be sure they're trying to gerrymander the districts outside of Dallas and Houston. If they go to Dallas and Houston, it could be two more Democrats in the Congress. Again, the Republicans are doing everything they can to be a minority that leads the American people rather than a majority. This is not Ronald Reagan's party.
January 6th, and Republicans have started a new fight as well with telecommunications companies, threatening that they should not turn over phone and email records to the House committee investigating the Capitol attack. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy said that Republicans will not forget companies who do this, and Marjorie Taylor Greene, naturally going a step further, saying they will be shut down if they hand over Republicans' phone data. Now, on the one hand, I agree that this is something to be wary of. Warrants, processes need to be in place for the government to access these kind of things, but somehow, I feel Republican hearts aren't necessarily in the right place on this one. Any thoughts?
Why are you worried?
I'm always concerned about government overreach in these kinds
of things. Yeah, but my point here is, if you got something to be worried about, this is really a big deal, isn't it? Clearly, I am concerned about the government being able to reach my telephone records, my banking records, etc. But since Al Capone, the United States government has had laws in place that allows the government to seize records of any kind related to a alleged violation of federal law. This includes moving young ladies across state lines and having sex. Remember that one? How are they catching him? Phone records. So I think be careful, be wary of crying wolf, because if the wolf ain't there, you might be eaten alive.
Anything else happening with the January 6th hearings you think we should be wary of?
Well, I think not wary of, but I think we should be aware of the fact that the Congress are going after the Congress. There are a lot of members of the House, not a lot, several members of the House of Representatives who are now in the crosshairs of this, Jim Jordan being one. But the record they've uncovered on Jim Jordan is he looks like a good guy. He was trying to stop it. He didn't want to say it. But he may come out clean here. And by him coming out clean and other people, their hands dirty, Jim Jordan will be able to walk away with his head up. It is a very difficult situation when members of Congress surrender their constitutional obligations and turn rogue. That's what happens in third world countries, not the United States.
On COVID, and the CDC has serious concerns about unvaccinated kids returning to schools and becoming infected. Projections show for kids under 12, ineligible for the current vaccines, up to 75% could become infected with the highly contagious Delta strain. Ed, what do you make of it?
First of all, I think the Delta strain is kind of like comparing a cannon bullet with a pistol bullet. The Delta strain is so much more vicious. It's the same kind of animal. It's a cat, but Delta's a tiger. And saying you're going to use the strategy you use with the cat to catch it against the tiger is a little bit dumb. So we have a situation here where the vaccines are now a stopgap. They do not prevent a tiger attack. They make sure the tiger doesn't, like a shark, get through the cage, but the shark is still a shark. And it's going to bite some people. Hate to use these animal analogies. I probably the animal rights people will be after me. But so what do we have as a defense? We have the vaccines that will shield you the same way the flu vaccine does. And I get a flu shot every year. I haven't even had a cold in a long time. But I don't think that's from getting the flu vaccine. It's from good hygiene. You know, even when you shake somebody's hand, you wash your hands. I carry a little bottle with me. You have to be very careful. So I think what they're saying is school teachers, and the Marin County study shows this, a school teacher who hasn't been vaccinated and accidentally takes off their mask can infect the whole room. In this case, she infected the first two rows. It led to about a quarter of the students in the entire school. Unintentionally, she did the right thing up until she pulled her mask down. So I think, first of all, everyone who's around young people, and that includes me because I referee football, needs to be vaccinated. That doesn't even prevent, that might not even prevent me from carrying the disease, but it lessens. If I wear my mask, it lessens it even more. If the players I'm around have their vaccinations, some of them will get a little bit of a flu from which they'll recover. For those who don't, they won't. The same thing's true of the flu. A kid who has serious internal problems, if they get the flu, may suffer very long-term consequences or even die. So I think we're in the endemic stage now. This is going to be around forever. Already Americans are traveling to Europe, showing their double vaccination and so forth and getting boosters. You can't get on a ship to go anywhere without showing your double vaccination. In New York City, you cannot walk into a restaurant without showing it. It'll be like showing your driver's license by next year. Those people who are against it become hermits.
Some good news for students, though. After his latest moves, Biden has cancelled some $9.5 billion in student debt since taking office. Arguments persist, though, over his ability to do more using executive action. What's your take, Ed?
Again, I want to point out, student debt is not student debt. It's old people's debt, like me. We loan this money out with a government guarantee. We have to be paid back. That's part of my pension portfolio. So let's get it straight. the government has only guaranteed this debt. Now, if it's going to honor that guarantee, fine, raise the taxes, but pay me back. Don't make me pay the penalty for this dumb thing. I don't think they should have had student loans in the first place, here or in the United States. The states should have paid as much for universities as they did for prisons, and we'd still have a free public education system. Mm. We're just paying for something we should have paid for before.
And in California, coming up in a couple of weeks, is a special election on whether to recall Governor Gavin Newsom. Californians were petitioned with the claim that people in this state suffer the highest taxes in the nation, the highest homelessness rates, and the lowest quality of life as a result. Now, due to Newsom, and probably, you know, this is probably both hindered and aided by the COVID pandemic, frustrations from that and the like, early results are good for Democrats, for Newsom, but fears of a late surge for Republicans. Any thoughts, Ed?
I don't know. I'm not close enough to it. I have a friend who lived there. I just talked to him this morning about his kids who live in Tahoe. His take on it is this. We are sorry we don't have a better governor. And that might be said for another state that I live in. But to change horses in the middle of this stream is crazy. Some new governor is going to come in the middle of a COVID crisis, the middle of a fire crisis, and do better than the guy that's there? Give me a break.
And just before I let you go, Ed, with the 70th anniversary of the alliance between Australia and the United States and New Zealand, Joe Biden has said the partnership between our countries remains as essential today as it has ever been, and the US and Australia would work together to support a free and open Indo-Pacific. How should we be feeling about this one, Ed? All warm and fuzzy?
Yeah, all warm and fuzzy. But don't get so fuzzy that you go to sleep. I don't trust those Americans.
Ed and I will be back next week to talk all the latest in US news and politics. Subscribe wherever you find the podcast, or check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. And the other podcast to check out is Pacific Conversations. Henry Cisneros, as I say, is this week's guest with Ed Blakely, talking about building better cities after COVID.